back to another issue of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Kathy Moser. I am your hostess with the mostest, and in my determination to bring you this show every single week, no matter what else I might be doing, I am once again recording portions of the show in my car. Please do not report that to the police. But I want to make sure you're getting a fresh show every week. And this week's topic is making a space. And that's going to be like making a space for your art, making a space for your creativity. We're going to talk about making a space inside of time and making a space inside of your actual physical space. And I would love to hear from you, for our listeners, listening to our listeners section of the show, to hear what you have been able to do to make a space for your art and your recovery in your life. So, now then, for lots of us, when we were drinking and drugging, that took up a lot of space in a lot of different ways. It might have taken up, it definitely took up time, both preparing to do it, doing it, and recovering from it. And I think that art requires the very same thing in some ways that our using might have, which is cool, because that means we already have that skill on board, that tool set on board, and we just need to recalibrate it to use it in a positive direction. Because I know for myself personally, it's very helpful if I keep in mind that I can't just go from whatever else I might be doing right into art. I need to prepare for it. I need to allow time for it, and I need also to recover from it, especially performance, but also writing, rehearsing, recording, all of those different things that I do, leading workshops. I got to have a time beforehand to gather myself and prepare and make sure I have everything I need on hand, whether that might be either my musical tools or my tape recorder. It might also be a cup of tea. It might be my fuzzy slippers. It might make sure that, you know, if there's something preying on my mind that I need to do, that I just go do that and get that out of the way. So I need to prepare for it. I need to allow myself a transition time. The way I think about creativity is I think of it as being the inside of an orange, like a thick-skinned orange. And I need to allow time in my process to get through the peel and through that pithy thing. So I saw a great quote that I will read, I think, hopefully, when I get back to my house. It's from this book by David Lynch that I have quoted a few times on this show called, I think it's called Catching the Big Fish. It's about meditation and creativity. And he said a friend of his dad, I think, was the first working artist he was ever around. And that guy said that he needed 4 hours in order to get 1 good hour of painting done. And I think, although it is true for me that there are times that I actually can get a lot done in a short amount of time, there's also a certain space that one would want to get into, that I like to get into, that requires a lot of time to get in there, and undisturbed time, and time that there's not something else happening on the end, the other end, you know, like, okay, I want to be creative, I want to make something happen, but I have to be out the door at 5:30. That doesn't work for me. What I'm going to want to do a lot of times if I'm going to have a creative day is get up, laze around, eat breakfast, maybe go for a run, probably not talk to anybody. Those days are treasures. And then slip into my creativity and know that this is actually, I have to say, it reminds me of my time before I got into recovery, and that sometimes in that creative space, what I want to do is turn off the phone and, you know, make sure that nobody can get to me, that I am undisturbed. Julia Cameron talks about creativity as being like building a house of cards, or about working with soap bubbles. And sometimes some of the creativity that we're going for is so fragile and so ephemeral that you just don't want someone knocking on the door right in the wrong moment. So, you know, putting a do not disturb sign on the studio door, or just letting people know, or I just put my phone on airline mode. Let the people that I live with know. Please don't disturb me this afternoon. So that's some stuff about making time for it. I guess, again, like looking at the idea that there are times when, you know, if you have 10 minutes or 15 minutes is totally better than nothing. And I've had all kinds of cool little fixes when I was like working on a song, and I would find a little fix for something or a way to play a guitar part in those little pieces of time. So it may be having a variety that might work for you. It works for me. Frankly, I need more of those big swaths of time. I know a bunch of artists and songwriters who actually go away for songwriting retreats. And I've been considering doing that. There's a farm near me that I've played a lot of benefits for them. And they have a little building, a little guest house on the farm. They've offered it to me. And I'm going to explore that, because I just, in my daily life at home, it is really hard to carve out those big pieces of time. The little pieces of time are available. Like medium-sized pieces of time are also available. But big pieces of time are harder for me to schedule when I'm at home, because there's the dishes and the laundry and the email and the cats and the husband and all of that stuff. So I wonder what you do. How do you give yourself time, both for your recovery and for your creativity? And just to flip that around for a second while we're still on the time topic, I know a lot of people in early recovery feel like they don't have time for the work of recovery. For example, if you would go to 12-step meetings, they might suggest you go to one every day. And people are like, I don't have time for that. That's insane. And then many of us find that if we do put our recovery, make the time for our recovery, then we have time for the other things too that are important. And plus, everything just goes well. Obviously, there's different modalities of recovery. People find recovery in different ways, in different forms. We'd love to hear some of your thoughts about that as well. I don't have a lot of experience with all the different forms that people are using for recovery, but we'd love to hear about your thoughts on how do you find time for yourself, for your art, and for your recovery, and do you have any tricks that are helpful to you? Oh, I do have one last thought on the time thing, which is I got a book by this woman. Oh my gosh, what is her name? I will come up with her name, I promise. I think her first name is Julie or Julia. The book is called Time Management from the Inside Out. And she talks about, she also has one called Organizing from the Inside Out. And she talks about finding the style of time management and also of physical organization that works for you. And so I noticed for me, because I travel and I really have very few things that stay the same from week to week, that I know they're important elements for me, and I want to make sure that in any given week I am getting those elements in. So I have a certain amount of time I devote to my recovery. I have a certain amount of time I devote to exercise, a certain amount of time I devote to accounting, because if I don't consciously work on that, then that it's just not going to happen. And sometimes, honestly, when I'm consciously trying to work on it, it also doesn't happen. But it is on my balance tracker. So I have the sheet that I made for myself, and it's got the date for the week. And then it's got all the different segments that I want to work on. One is getting good gigs. One is songwriting. One is I go on an artist date. I try to go on an artist date, which is an hour by myself just for my art. Whether that's going to be going to, I don't know, a fabric store and looking at all the colors, or going out in my kayak. Some kind of time that's going to refill the well for me. And I have this balance tracker, and then I fill in the boxes, which I don't know what it says about me, but I will tell you I take inordinate satisfaction at filling in the little boxes. These are boxes, by the way, that I drew on the paper, and then I photocopied it. I actually photocopied it onto cardstock so that it feels a little bit more substantial, and then I keep them. I've been doing this probably since 2009. I am not always doing it, but when my time is out of balance, this is a tool I use to put it back into balance. And also, when I do that, I have like a list of stuff that I want to accomplish this week. And that's also very helpful for me. So I keep that balance tracker and the things I want to accomplish. Because I'm a self-employed artist, I don't almost, you know, unless I'm having a gig, which I have gigs a couple times a week, but the vast majority of the time, I'm only accountable to myself. So when I am feeling out of balance, or I just haven't been using the balance tracker in a while, I will pull one out, make it for the week, and then happily, oh so happily, check off my boxes as I fill them out. And the things I want to see that I am doing every day, if I can, is meditate, exercise, play music, work on my recovery, and pay attention to money. And actually, you know what? I'm going to do a whole show on money at some point. But this is not that show. This is not the show on money, people. No, this is the show on creating a space. We've really talked a lot about creating a space in time. I'm going to stop now, and then we're going to take a little break. And then we're going to talk about creating space in your actual physical space. Okay, see you in a minute. was Room in My Heart by the amazing, mighty, and talented Jonathan Brooke. That's B-R-O-O-K-E. That's from her album called Back in the Circus. I encourage you, as always, if you hear an artist that you like on this show, please buy their music to show your support for them. The amazing and talented Jonathan Brooke. She's got a bunch of records out. Remembering again, just that the fact that an artist's music appears on the show is no way a commentary about whether they are or are not in recovery. I have no idea whatsoever. I just thought that was a good song for the topic of the show. Oakley Doakley, creating a space in your actual physical space. I find, and I'm not the only one, that it is really helpful to my art if I have my tools out and available, so that when I am either having time or inspiration, that I do not have to set it up, that it is already up and available to me. I've been trying to keep a guitar in my office and just out of the case. That has not been going that well, actually, because there's not a really good spot for it in the office, and also we heat our house with wood, so I can't keep it out of the case because I need to keep it humidified. I'm still working on that. But my studio, which is in the basement, I have set up for myself, and one thing I notice is that I keep my studio a lot neater than other spots in my life. Which is interesting. I had noticed for myself that it definitely feels more inviting and more quiet, just really mentally quiet, if it's neat. So I do have that set up, and I also like the fact that it's in the basement. When I moved into this house with my husband, I thought about putting the studio on the ground floor because we had a large room that was mostly unused. But A, my husband was not that psyched about that, and B, it just turned out to be great because I can play late at night if I wish to, or early in the morning. And I also find that having a little bit of a space that's away from the general daily traffic in the house is psychically comforting to me. I feel a mental space because of the fact that I am slightly physically removed from the basic pattern of the house. Now, I recognize everybody cannot do that. So what would be interesting to see is to experiment about what's a small way that you could make a space for yourself. It might be as simple as having a notebook, if you're a writer, having a notebook that is your special notebook for your writing or for your sketching that you maybe can keep at hand or carry around with you. Or you have a specific comfy chair in your house that you're going to keep that notebook next to because that's an inviting spot for you. It could be as simple as that. And for those of us that work on computers, I think also I benefit so much from organization as an artist and organizing my files. So if whether you're a photographer or you're a writer or you're a musician, you know, one of the parts about creating a space inside your electronic world, you know, is going to be good labeling and having a system that works for you. Again, you can look at that book, Organizing from the Inside Out. And I know for myself personally, from my using time, before I had the blessing of coming into recovery, I had a rule actually about cassette tapes, is that you could have one unlabeled cassette tape. I'm old, so we actually were recording on four tracks on cassette tapes. My rule was you are allowed to have one unlabeled cassette tape, but you can't have two, because as soon as you have two, you have a problem. You have to go and listen to it and see what's on there. So I sort of got that out of some of my paranoia. I was afraid I didn't trust myself to find things again. So that was like one of my rules from my using time. But I would have tapes that say really unhelpful things on them. Like, I have a tape, I know what it says. It says Friday Night at Joe's House. And that says where I was when I was recording it. It does not say anything about what's on that tape. Honestly, I have no idea what's on that tape. I can tell you that I recorded it on a Friday night at my friend Joe's house in Brooklyn. So another just idea that's come up a couple times in this show is that sometimes as artists, at least for myself, I think of structure as being confining. But actually, you know what's confining? Is like having 12 tapes and having to listen to all of them to find out which one has that one little riff that you're looking for, as opposed to having a tape that's labeled, you know, riff upgrades to my love song or whatever song it's going to be. You know, having a specific title for what is on that. And also when I'm doing drafts, I will like number the drafts so that I can see them. With my photographs, I'm definitely trying to work on, digital photography can be so overwhelming, right? There's just, you could take 10,000 shots and then try and figure out which two are best. Good luck with that. I can say what I have been doing in terms of organizing and making space for my photography is I have an external hard drive because it was making my laptop just too slow and clogging everything up. So I've started organizing thematically. I am really interested in reflections. So I have like a big folder with smaller folders of reflections. I have, I'm very interested in tree bark. I think tree bark is like poetry, but I've really never, I have only a few photographs out of all the many, many I've shot that really show what I see when I look at the bark of a tree. But so I'll have those files, and when I can put like with like, it also helps me get rid of stuff, because then I can see, okay, I have these 18 pictures from this one day I was out, and I have 12 pictures from that day I was out, and okay, here's the thing I'm trying to get, and this one kind of gets it, this one does not get it at all. It just helps me throw out stuff, which is also very helpful, because as Julia Cameron says, a lot of us as artists, we're multi-talented, and we're prolific, and sometimes our own prolificness and our own multi-talentedness can come into scatteredness, and that does not, it doesn't reward us, because we're not moving forward. So those are some thoughts about space. Is there some way that you can have a little some space set up for yourself? If it's as small as a notebook, or a specific file in your computer, or a room in your house, or a table at the library. You know, it doesn't even have to be in your house. And a lot of writers, I personally could not do this, but I know a lot of writers really benefit from being in a coffee shop environment. So maybe there's a favorite coffee shop in your neighborhood that you might like, or a diner. Many, many people that are writers benefit from working in public. I personally could never do that. But I have had the experience of when I've lived in a small space, benefiting from going to the library. And my library has these little cubicles that are on the side of the library, kind of away from the main flow of the library, and there's almost never anybody back there. It's pretty quiet. They have comfortable chairs and outlets. So that's another thing about creating space, and Julia Cameron talks about this as well, is that sometimes when we're jammed up with a project, one good thing to do with it is just change the location that you're working on. So for example, if I'm jammed up writing at the house and I'm just not feeling it, one thing might be to do, go out for a walk and then go up to take my laptop up to the library and work there. Even audio editing with a good pair of headphones, you can edit almost anywhere without disturbing the people around you. So making a time for your art, making a physical space for your art. What else would there be? And here's what I think it might be. This is definitely true for me. What about making a space in your heart for your art? What about allowing that, if you are an artist, there might be some things you need to do differently for yourself so that you can create, that people around you might not understand? For example, I do not go see violent movies because they are totally disruptive to my well-being, my sleep, and my psyche. And I don't want those pictures in my head. I just don't. Because I want there to be peace in my head. because that's what helps me function as a human and as an artist, and also helps me to bring forth the kind of art that I want to bring forth to be of service in the world. So that's one way I make a space in my heart for my art. Another way I make space in my heart for my art is that I go outside. I spend time in nature, because that just really, really fills me up. Another way I make space in my heart for my art is that I'm totally blessed. I dress the way that I really enjoy. I have so much color in my clothing. And I don't have like really rich, fancy, expensive clothing or anything like that, but I am very pleased by my clothing. And that helps me walk in the world as an artist, and to know that, like, I'm allowed to do that. I've kind of earned that right, if you will. So I'd be interested in your thoughts about how do you make space in your heart for your art. Another way I make space in my heart for my recovery is, let's see, how do I do that? Well, I participate actively in a recovery community. I consider it a priority for myself. And I also, I guess I make a space in my heart for my recovery, not only by the places that I do go, but by the places that I don't go. So stay tuned on that. I'm going to be touring in Colorado next week and also in the summertime. And as you may know, marijuana has just been legalized in Colorado. Honestly, having toured out there a lot of times, it was hard to tell prior to this that it wasn't legal already, from the way you would see it in music venues. But I'm interested to see if anything changes relative to what I need to do for myself in order to care for myself and protect myself and my art and my well-being now that that's shifted. So those are some thoughts on creating a space for your art in your heart, in your life, in your time schedule, in your home, and the same for your recovery. So thanks for listening to Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery. I am Kathy Moser, your hostess with the mostest, reminding you there are shows now every single day of the week, sometimes two, on City of Angels. There's Will Be Clean. He has a comedy show. There's Share Your Scars, which is about recovery from self-injury. There's a Christian prison ministry recovery show. There's all different kinds of shows. And if you're benefiting from this, remember that you can also go back and stream them out of the archives at any time. And if you're finding this to be useful for yourself on City of Angels Recovery Radio, please tell a friend. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.